This is for your life. This is for your children's future. This is for everything on the line now. This is what humanity's all about, the struggle for liberty and freedom. Can't you feel it in your bones? Can't you feel it in your heart?
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound, a dimension of sight, a dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
I'm not delusional. This most likely is your first experience with me. Greetings. My name is Propaganda. I wrote my first rap in 93, simply put. Fire baptized battle rapper who's heavily influenced by folk music and found creative freedom in poetry. Combo is strange, I know, but let this one bake your noodle. I'm the son of a Black Panther with a Mexican spouse and Caucasian best friends. And my writing tone, well now, is not one that offers you a neat little bow to tie all your little problems up with. I know enough to know that I don't know that much. I know God became a man to save us, and we still can't explain pyramids. I know ancient Mayan and Egyptian astronomers had a far greater understanding of outer space than we do. I know academia is so drunk on arrogance and racism that they'd rather credit these accomplishments to aliens than to admit that we are not the smartest civilization to ever live. I know I really love my wife, my daughter, and mangoes. And for some reason, folks find it illogical to think that a perfectly designed universe screams of a designer. I know sarcasm is really the only time most people tell the truth. I know chilaquiles and In-N-Out will be served in heaven. I know it's a much better decision to shut your mouth when you don't know what you're talking about than to validate what everybody already thinks of you. I know color theory very well. A degree in illustration and intercultural studies and a teaching credential, yet I rap for a living, let that sink in. Apparently I don't know that much, just the gospel and good hip-hop. Pretty simple dude, all I have is my all, and I promise to give you that. You know, lower standards will lower the culture. You know, the Roman Empire was destroyed by lower standards and moral decay. You know, they fed their own to lions for entertainment. Humans, when left to their own devices, seem to be hopelessly selfish and bent on their own destruction. It seems unless a force greater than them intervenes, nothing will stop that trajectory. Wealth, knowledge, success seems to only feed the beast. But don't listen to me. We just met. What do I know?
I don't know if you guys can see this, but this is the Nest Smart Thermostat. And I just want to tell you guys, this is something that they're trying to really push on everyone. It's part of the smart grid. It hooks your house up. It sends signals back and forth. It learns your preferences and then programs itself. It can also be accessed through wireless on laptops and iPads and phones. Meaning if you can access it that way, so can other people, including the government. That's how smart grids are going to work. It also comes with this handy-dandy camera, which you can put in your own house to spy on yourself, which has enhanced two-way audio. Talk back with a state-of-the-art mic and speaker. Can't wait for that. I guess that's when that one couple, their baby, they had one of these cameras, and the person started taking over the camera in the middle of the night and screaming at their child. Yeah, that's because it was hacked. But worse than that is just the fact that these things are going to be hooked up to the smart grid, and once they get that really going with all the disaggregation algorithms, they're going to be able to know every time you do anything in your house, especially energy-wise. It's going to be sending out signals every 5 seconds from every appliance in your house, and this is going to be part of it. And I don't know if you can show them that thing on the wall, but it's basically like having Hal from 2001 Space Odyssey in your house.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Just know if you can talk to it, it can probably talk to you, and other people can probably hear everything you're saying. Not only that, but everything you're doing in your house. Why are we living in a society where everyone wants to spy on themselves all the time? Does this make you feel smarter? Are you really saving that much money by putting a smart grid HAL technology in your home to spy on you and your children? This cam has night vision. I mean, you can talk to it from your laptop. It's going to program itself. Great. Wonderful. I want my house to program itself. I'm going to go live in a tree. I don't want to live like this.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, drag it, drop it, zip, unzip it, lock it, fill it, call it, find it, view it, code it, jump and lock it, surf it, scroll it, pose it, click it, cross it, crack it, switch, update it, name it, read it, tune it, print it, scan it, send it, fax, rename it, touch it, ring it, pay it, watch it, turn it, leave it, start format. Technologic.
This week we got an awesome patent for you. This patent is from Boeing. The patent mentions the names of two inventors, James Childress and John Viniotis. Congratulations, John and James, for receiving this patent. I'm really excited to show you how this patent works. The patent discloses a drone that can be charged mid-air. Currently, it is difficult to operate drones for extended time periods. So this invention solves a major problem in using drones in real-life scenarios. These inflatable drones include a tether that connects with ground-based power supply to provide power to the aircraft. This enables the use of drones for extended time periods. For example, for a pizza delivery service, the drones are required to be operational almost throughout the day. So these drones could be recharged mid-air from ships, from other flying objects, from moving vehicles on the ground, or even from high-altitude balloons.
This is where you get into the idea of experience generation. You know, like if we get to like Google, this thing you're talking about, Google contact lenses, it's not going to stop at the eye.
Right.
Like technology is doing the thing to us that the face suckers on Aliens do. It started off far away. It was our phones. It was our computers. Then it like it was on our desks. It was a nice safe distance. Then it got into our pockets. It tried to climb onto our face with the Google glasses, but nobody liked that. But now it's getting into our eyes, and it's not going to stop at our eyes. Technology is going to merge with our consciousness, and when it merges with our consciousness, the theory would be that it could somehow create experiences that were indistinguishable from reality.
Surf it, scroll it, pose it, click it, cross it, crack it, switch, update it, name it, read it, tune it, print it, scan it, send it, fax, rename it, touch it, ring it, pay it, watch it, turn it, leave it, stop, format it, buy it, use it, break it, fix it, crash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick, rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, crack it, drop it, zip, unzip it, surf it, scroll it, pose it, click it, cross it, crack it, switch, update it, name it, read it, tune it, print it, scan it, send it, fax, rename it, touch it, ring it, pay it, watch it, turn it, leave it, stop, format it, buy it, use it, break it, fix it, crash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it, get it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick, rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, crack it, drop it, zip, unzip it, surf it, scroll it, pose it, click it, cross it, crack it, switch, update it, name it, read it, tune it, print it, scan it, send it, fax, rename it. Technologic. Technologic. Technologic.
You know, Google made headlines not a while back when it was reported that its self-driving autonomous car had passed Nevada's driving tests. It turns out there was less to that story than meets the eye. The Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers filed a Freedom of Information request with the state of Nevada, and here's what they learned. They learned that while the car passed the test almost immediately, Google chose the test route, set limits on the road and weather conditions that the vehicle could encounter, and that its engineers had to take control of the car twice during the drive. In other words, this very highly hyped event didn't happen, and self-driving cars are not ready for prime time. What lessons can we draw out of this? Don't believe the hype out of the Silicon Valley. They're always trying to sell you something they haven't built yet. That's one. Number two, this is a highly politicized process. There were politicians involved in the driving test, and it shouldn't have worked. It didn't work. Number three, this technology is not safe. And number four, by the way, I would add parenthetically, I'm not sure I want to be driven around by a self-driving car that's reporting my every move to big data, to the big corporations that control big data, and to the NSA that can seize that data at any time. Think about it.
I want to welcome me to your country. It's far too crowded for me to be here, but I don't want to be there. But I just got there, but I don't want to ask to be rerouted on the first day of this month's Armageddon. Writing speeches with unleavened pencil, rewrite the scrolls of history. In the dark with a flash, I'm whispering to myself and the other diplomats from Switzerland. Me and my constituents and Dan Rather, we like to gather and run the world with the help of a motherboard and a back scratcher, God's computer. I drink a vodka shooter out of an antique auction luger with a bunch of cranky cop recruiters. I offer the future in an office with a t-shirt that buttons up.
Just because the world runs on oil doesn't mean oil men should run the world. Just because the sky's my paved road doesn't mean you should pave a road over the sky.
Movie actress who's into pop culture, ethnic cleansing, genetic blending of musketeers who smile from ear to ear for thousands of years, step and veggies make the crowd cheer. Now, human shields, free promoters will sleep over and try your hair with an alien blower. If you don't know the secret code word, then don't reorder our albums that contain three leaf clovers that give relief to ulcers. Did you know American and British royal fam will lick your oil pan and eat grade A suicide bomber with a loyal fan? Follow those two, they're looking out for the interests of a small group of Illuminati Lydia's firstborn male with horns and a tail.
Pumping gasoline, how much do you want? Fill it up and clean the windshield with the rag. You'll need a quart of oil. My name is Clinton Moyle. I'm not from foreign soil. I've used a car antenna as a fencing foil. Sounds like your engine coil will make your grandson's attention boil. Contribute and give me the rest of the money before you go to the Statue of Liberty restroom, honey. I need to go inside of the store to get you some gum, cause your breath smells like the Exxon Valdez oil spill. Clinton, free with the use of a NASCAR gas card. It's a page turner where the red fern grows, fuel for the bedroom stove. Glad your red fern grows.
Rock the boat with your broccoli coat. Rock the boat with your broccoli coat.
Who'd have joined to be frozen nude in front of frozen food? Hook, line, and sinker, but a bookbinder thinker might blow a fuse. When the tube sock can't pop up on TV gates, I sing a boombox and bug and soulless to take small chest to gates. Who's soul, sir? When I pull tools from a family yoke and hunger strike, from a cobra, bunker, scientist, and biological warfare. Watch the TV screen spectacle, the herb is speaking clean, edible, leafy green vegetable, or a couch potato spud. When say no, the drugs are born in your throat, pull balls, the cold chills go through your arthritic metacarpus. The idea is that you'll get the move into your sandcastle by pressing buttons, brand a cattle, with a set of instructions on how to turn a TV drying washer into a flying saucer. But not without being rushed to an eye doctor, cause I left wrapped so tight, it's act on that corona. Don't industry smell peddlers, but a wrestler.
Just
Just because the world runs on oil doesn't mean oil men should run the world. Just because the sky's my paved road doesn't mean you should pave a road over the sky.
From wind to solar to battery-powered cars, the scientific community is constantly developing alternative energy sources for Americans to blindly waste.
Here at Green Ford in San Francisco, engineers are hard at work discovering greener ways to power our lives using hydrogen cells, which they say will allow us to thoughtlessly squander our planet's resources for years to come.
You see, hydrogen energy is clean enough to neutralize your decision to keep your charged iPad plugged in overnight, or your hockey table running in your basement every day of the week.
So if my home were to run on hydrogen technology, I wouldn't need to think twice about leaving my hot tub on 24/7.
We're talking four deep freezers in your home with six packets of Flavor Ice between them. No problem.
The way hydrogen cells let us waste their energy-saving powers is simple. Since combining hydrogen and oxygen for energy emits toxin-free water, the number of thermal units in the atmosphere decreases. And that decrease is then offset when someone sits in 45 minutes of traffic with their AC on full blast or lets the shower run for 10 minutes before getting in.
Green Ford's goal? To one day have every home and car in America run on mindlessly discarded hydrogen energy.
So this is all really exciting, but what about the cost?
Well, anytime you transition to a new energy system, you face an initial investment. But you can't put a price tag on being able to keep a second full-size refrigerator in your garage for the two times a year you throw a party.
After seeing the Green Ford labs in progress, it gives me real hope that there will be a day where I don't have to think twice about leaving two TVs on at the same time to make it sound like there are people around.
The world is coming to an end. The air is polluted, the oceans contaminated. The animals are going extinct, the economy's collapsed, education is shot, police are corrupt, intelligence is shunned and ignorance rewarded. The people are depressed and angry, we can't live with each other and we can't live with ourselves, so everyone's medicated. We pass each other on the streets and if we do speak, it's meaningless robotic communication. More people want 15 seconds of fame than a lifetime of meaning and purpose because what's popular is more important than what's right. Ratings are more important than the truth. Our government builds twice as many prisons than schools. It's easier to find a Big Mac than an apple. And when you find the apple, it's been genetically processed and modified. Presidents lie. Politicians trick us. Race is still an issue. And so is religion. Your God doesn't exist. My God does, and he is all loving. If you disagree with me, I'll kill you. Or even worse, argue you to death. 92% of songs on the radio are about sex. Kids don't play tag, they play twerk videos. The average person watches 5 hours of television a day, and it's more violence on the screen than ever before. Technology has given us everything we could ever want, and at the same time stolen everything we really need. Pride is at an all-time high, humility an all-time low. Everybody knows everything, everybody's going somewhere, ignoring someone, blaming somebody. Not many human beings left anymore, a lot of human doings, plenty of human lingerings in the past, not many human beings. Money is still the root of all evil, yet we tell our kids, don't get that degree, the jobs don't pay enough. Good deeds are only done when there's a profit margin. Videos of the misfortunes of others go viral. We laugh and share them with our friends to laugh with us. Our role models today, 60 years ago, would have been examples of what not to be. There are states where people can legally be discriminated against because they were born a certain way. Companies invest millions of dollars hiring specialists to make little girls feel like they need makeup to be beautiful, permanently lowering their self-esteem because they will never be pretty enough to meet those impossible standards. Corporations tell us, buy, 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 get this, get that. You must keep up, you must fit in. This will make you happy, but it never does for long. So what can we do in the face of all this madness and chaos? What is the solution? We can love. Not the love you hear in your favorite song on the radio. I mean real love, true love, boundless love. You can love each other from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed, performing acts
act of kindness, because that is contagious. We can be mindful during every interaction, planting seeds of goodness, showing a little more compassion than usual. We can forgive, because 300 years from now, will that grudge you hold against your friend, your mother, your father have been worth it? Instead of trying to change others, we can change ourselves. We can change our hearts. We've been sold lies, brainwashed by our leaders and those we trust, and not recognize our brothers and sisters, and to exhibit anger, hatred, and cruelty. But once we truly love, we will meet anger with sympathy, hatred with compassion, cruelty with kindness. Love is the most powerful weapon on the face of the earth. Robert Kennedy once said that few will have the greatness to be in history, but each of us can work to change a small portion of events, and in the total of all those acts will be written the history of a generation. So yes, the world is coming to an end, and the path towards a new beginning starts within you.
Stop a few of their machines and radios and telephones and lawnmowers. Throw them into darkness for a few hours and then sit back and watch the pattern.
And this pattern is always the same?
With few variations. They pick the most dangerous enemy they can find. And it's themselves. All we need to do is sit back and watch.
Then I take it this place, this Maple Street, is not unique.
By no means. Their world is full of Maple Streets. And we'll go from one to the other and let them destroy themselves. One to the other. One to the other. One to the other.
The tools of conquest do not necessarily come with bombs and explosions and fallout. There are weapons that are simply thoughts, attitudes, prejudices, to be found only in the minds of men. For the record, prejudices can kill, and suspicion can destroy, and a thoughtless, frightened search for a scapegoat has a fallout all of its own, for the children and the children yet unborn. And the pity of it is that these things cannot be confined to the Twilight Zone.
Gregory Dawson filling in for Clifford Baines, who was hit by two cars. The first car threw him into the path of the second car. The unemployment crisis has worsened in recent months with little sign of recovery. Should the nation's millions of unemployed spring for a new Apple computer, given that it might assist them in a job search?
Absolutely, they should. Of course, right. It's expensive, but the unemployed need a Mac to stay on top of job listings, update their cover letter.
And Macs come with iMovie, so they can edit together a neat little video resume.
Guys, I'm really sorry. I forgot to bring the cups today. I didn't know we'd be drinking the Apple Kool-Aid
here. Here we go.
I mean, cash-strapped Americans don't need to spend an extra $800 for a stupid little glowing Apple logo on their computer, because that's all you're getting.
I don't understand why an unemployed person needs a new computer at all. Did their old one stop working?
Well, no, Laura Lee, but you know, it's important to stay on top of the latest hardware.
Right, and plus, you know, if they get a MacBook Pro, they could use it to learn graphic design.
Exactly.
Which is like, I mean, they could pick up some freelance graphic design work while they're waiting for
I need to teach myself graphic design. I keep telling myself I'm going to do, but you know,
But why spend thousands? Why are we spending thousands on a tiny toy, which is all it is, when you go down to Best Buy and for $400 you get a Toshiba?
I still don't understand why the unemployed don't use the computer that they have out in their garage, like mine. I go out there, I turn it on, and there in the folder marked recipes are my recipes.
But, Laura Lee, if you want to work in a creative field, you need a Mac.
A Mac is the tool for creative professionals. When I go into a cafe and I see somebody using a Dell computer, I turn the other way. I'm like, what is he working on his manifesto?
Yes, Mr. Jobs, whatever you say,
and
Mr. Jobs.
Apple, may I remind you, is not the only corporation that's vital to the needs of the unemployed at this difficult time. Netflix, Starbucks.
You need a Starbucks boost when you're spending all day filling out your LinkedIn profile.
Are we still talking about computers? Because aren't there Kinko's on every single
Kinko's,
corner
what are we,
where
almost?
You can use their computers if you really need
Look,
to?
Look, the fact is that Americans should be supporting innovation. That's what drives the economy, spending.
But wasn't the recent financial crisis caused by a liquidity shortfall of just this kind of overspending? I mean, didn't the subprime mortgage fiasco teach us
Laura
that
Lee,
if we...
shut up. You don't know anything, okay? You can't participate in this conversation because you don't know the specifics of what we're talking about. Your opinion is not valid. It doesn't matter.
David has a point, Laura Lee. I mean, you really just don't seem to understand anything that we're discussing.
Sorry. Laura Lee, you can go. Well, I'm serious. You should go.
Okay.
Oprah shocked her studio audience today by revealing a second Oprah.
Three rare images taken by the world's first photographer are going on show 250 years after his birth. The images were taken in the 1820s by Joseph Nicephore Niépce, born in 1765. He is recognised as the world's first successful photographer. He created permanent images by exposing chemicals on metal plates to light, which he called heliography, meaning drawing with the sun. There are 60 Niépce heliographic plates known to be in existence today, three of which belong to the National Media Museum's Royal Photographic Society collection. The examples include an image of Christ carrying the cross, a portrait of Le Cardinal d'Amboise, and Claire de Lune. There are said to be only a dozen early photographs in the world, according to the National Media Museum, where the photos will be exhibited later this month. Having three together in the same place, though, is extremely rare. Niépce is credited with taking the earliest known surviving photograph, which is a view from a window of his house in Burgundy in France. The photo is said to have required an exposure of about 8 hours.
Mia Lisa.
Funny floor.
Russian startup is hoping it's on the road to success with a simple idea that converts smartphones into heads-up displays. The device not only provides drivers with key information, but also vastly improves road safety.
Hardwick Glass was inspired by rally racing. When you are driving 120 miles per hour, all your attention is focused on the road ahead. To look away, even for a second, is extremely dangerous. Putting a head-up display in a race car is one thing, but we realized regular drivers face all the same distractions and more using their smartphones while driving.
We put it to the test. The two most common distractions are reading directions of your phone and checking your speedometer. This causes us to drive blind for approximately 300 feet on every mile. On a typical 10-mile trip, we are distracted and driving blind for over half a mile. Using hardware glass, this distraction time is reduced to nearly zero.
The project has attracted lots of attention and for the developers as well. $600,000 so far being raised for the Kickstarter platform. The device works just the same as those found on the top-of-the-range cars, but comes at a fraction of the price, $49. The creator of the Hudway glass, Ivan Klabukov, told RT's Daniel Hawkins what inspired him to create this device.
Well, a few years ago, we were driving a car from Ijevsk to Perm, and we were thinking about how to... It would be cool to create a navigation software which will project data right on a windshield. Because you don't have to look away from the road to your navigation system on a phone, which means you divert your attention from the road and you're driving blind. And we were talking, I was talking on the phone and then placed it on the dashboard, and then we saw that the screen of the phone reflects on a windshield perfectly.
Hey everyone, you're watching Next Gen. Today I want to share a fantastic game that also has an important message of inclusivity. It's called Pong, and it lets you play as a man in a wheelchair. The game provides a huge amount of freedom to the player, with the option to travel almost anywhere you want inside the game's open world environment. Whether you want to travel left or travel right, being disabled does not stop you from achieving your goals. Pong is even able to swim across the river in the middle of the country. He is constantly being blocked by the two athletic giants that stand on opposite sides of the world. Here, the game designers deserve credit for addressing head-on the discrimination disabled people face in their daily lives. This makes it even more powerful when Pong manages to overcome the giants and slip past them into an exciting new map. If I have one criticism of Pong, it's that the game only features white male characters. It seems like an odd misstep that a game with such a compelling message of equality could fail to include any women or people of color. Developer Atari did a great job of making Pong into a unique and interesting character who refuses to be defined by his wheelchair. Other than his inability to ever stop moving, Pong is no less capable than any other human being. It's an excellent example of how games should treat characters with disabilities, just like anyone else. Do yourself a favor and pick up a copy of Pong today.
Covered the rise of autonomous killer robots devoid of human oversight, meaning killer robots that decide on their own whether to kill. That's a thing now. Tech experts are standing up to say we have to stop an AI arms race now. Look, according to Sigmund Freud, humankind has two main drives, right? Sex and aggression. These killer robots satisfy our drive for aggression. Which begs the question, why haven't we built autonomous sex robots devoid of self-respect? Shouldn't those Shouldn't those have arrived on the scene first? You know, we could drop those into militant strongholds to chill them the hell out while, you know, without killing innocent people. You can't be pulsing with anti-American jihad when you're up to your beard in sexy time with a fembot. That is a universal truth. Hugely ignored story is an increase in people thinking we may ultimately be able to solve climate change by geoengineering the Earth. And an increase of reports saying if we do that, it will make a bad thing even more shitty. Like when Mitt Romney tried to fix his failing campaign by rolling up his sleeves and smiling like he just had a coffee enema. And the whole nation was like, yeah, somehow you made it worse. Geoengineering is the concept of mankind intentionally chemically altering the atmosphere in order to combat climate change. Like pumping a bunch of crap into the sky in order to reflect the sun's rays. What could go wrong? I mean, some people cover their homes with Christmas lights every December, and that only lands 11,000 Americans in the emergency room each year. So I'm sure there won't be any ill effects with filling the skies with volcanic ash or ground up pelican sperm or whatever the f***. Dozens of researchers with the National Academy of Sciences put out a pair of comprehensive reports that said geoengineering has significant potential for unanticipated, unmanageable, and regrettable consequences in multiple human dimensions, including political, social, legal, economic, and ethical. That's like all the dimensions. Look at how many people. Look at how many people accidentally kill their houseplants. Maybe we're not ready to geoengineer the Earth. Most people I know aren't ready to engineer a baby. They try and it grows up to like boy bands or hate immigrants or be religious, you know?
Should be small. Who can tell what magic spells we'll be doing for us? And I'm giving all my love to this world, only to be told I can't see, I can't breathe, nor my will we be. And nothing's gonna change the way we live, 'cause we can always take but never give. And now the things are changing for the worse. See, whoa, it's a crazy world.
Yeah. Put down that iPhone or BlackBerry, look up from your computer screen or video game, stop texting, emailing, chatting online. It turns out that the internet could be driving us crazy.
One question that we get over and over again is, what do you wish you had known before you made the shift to off-grid living? And some people are asking that because they are maybe thinking about living off-grid themselves and they want to be well prepared. And some people are asking that just because they want to know, because it's an interesting thing to find out what is different, what feels different, and what are the things that we didn't know. So we're going to show you the 10 things that we wish we had known before we went off the grid. Here we go.
Solar power is easier than you think. It took me a long time to get comfortable with the idea of all of these different solar components, and it was all so confusing. But there's a lot of good literature out there that kind of simplifies it, and you're not going to get it horribly wrong. There might be inefficiencies in your system, but it's going to work. Not no matter what you do, but you can do a lot of different combinations of things and still get solar power, still have a battery bank that will charge your devices and do the bare minimum of what you need. Because after you've lived without power at all for a while, your needs are really pretty low. So any amount of solar power is worth doing.
Plants can't grow where there's no soil. So we got a great piece of land, but we got a great piece of land where the soil was not rich and prepared for farming. We wasted some time our first year trying to grow plants in the soil without realizing that our first job was to create soil. So we have a number of ways of doing that, just bringing in any kind of organic matter from various kinds of manure to grass clippings or leaves. We now use a chicken tractor to use our chicken manure to really create soil, even right in the middle of our garden plot where we just had clay dry soil before. We do a lot of sheet mulching, and we're building our earth so that when we plant the plants in them, they'll actually grow.
Water runs downhill. Maybe you knew that already.
So we have a spring that's up the hill from where we set up our yurt, and it took us a long time to figure out a really easy way to get pressurized water. Well, that water source is above where we want to use water. So why not just hook it up? The moral of that story is gravity-fed water systems are a lot easier than you think, and it's just worth hooking it up and experimenting and seeing what it's able to do. In our case, it's able to actually run a small water heater and run our sink and pretty much everything else that we need to do.
All that matters because carrying water is the worst, the literal worst. Carrying water is so bad, in fact, that we aren't going to demonstrate it for you. We carry our water in 5-gallon buckets all winter long. This will be our third winter of doing that, and if all goes according to our very, very detailed and careful plan, this is our last winter of it. And that's good, because it's back-breaking labor. We carry our water down from the spring all winter long in containers like this one. Can you see that? It's a 5-gallon container. And we do have a sled. We do have ways to bring it down the hill that make it easier. But it's pretty demoralizing to carry water. So I would say we knew that it was going to be hard, but we didn't actually realize how hard it was going to be. Any way that you can get around that by creating plumbing systems and even doing the hard work of digging your plumbing underground so that it won't freeze is completely worth it.
Batteries run out. LED lights are a really efficient way to go. The bulb that we put in our new light fixture is a 60-watt equivalent, but it only draws 9.5 watts, which just barely sips off of our little battery bank. So that beats the crap out of the battery-powered camp lantern that we used for so long. Also, we now have rechargeable headlamps. These are expensive, but they will never go bad. So instead of buying a whole bunch of AAA batteries all the time and throwing them out, we just plug these in and recharge them.
Bears like trash. Okay, so we already knew that before we moved out here, technically. But I think we didn't realize what a priority that was. When we had a bear come and visit us, we had created conditions that were ideal for a bear to move in. And he was with us for a couple of days, and it was not a safe situation for me or for my kids. So if you're thinking, well, I know that bears like trash, but I think it's more important for me to do X, Y, and Z than it is to secure my trash in an area where a bear might pass through, I suggest that you reconsider those priorities. We have secured our trash, and since then, it's very possible that a bear ambles through now and then, but there's no reason for him to stay, or her to stay. There's no reason for them to hang out and move in, and we sure are safer and happier because of it.
Firewood is a ton of work. So every year we have to fill this woodshed. It takes about 5 cords of wood or so to get us through the winter. And that's a lot of work, getting it all over here and split and cut into the right shape and size, and making sure it's all dry and actually useful as firewood. So far we've been able to get by on limbs from trees that we cut down for lumber and offcuts of lumber, and not really cutting down a whole ton of trees just for firewood, but it's still a lot of work to get it over here. The long-term plan is to do a rocket mass heater for the house, and we would have liked to do one for the yurt as well. It is a huge savings on the amount of firewood that you go through. So anything that you can do to increase the efficiency of burning wood for heat and for cooking, do it, because creating that fuel is just, it's a lot more work than you want to be doing.
Yurts are better at cold weather than they are at hot weather. We were psychologically prepared for the winter to be difficult in our half home, half tent yurt, but we underestimated the kind of brilliant design of a yurt. If it's insulated, it holds heat very, very well. And we also underestimated the extent to which hot air would be trapped in the summertime. So that became a solution that needed to be found in the summer months. We installed a fan. And this also has to do with our particular design of the yurt, that we don't have a large opening at the top, and we were concentrating on keeping heat in. But we solved that problem with a solar-powered fan in the top of the yurt. And now our summers are as comfortable as our winters.
Temporary is longer than you think. So our plan, before we had ever done any part of living off the grid, was to be in the yurt for a year. Well, that's going to be at least 3 years before we have our house habitable. So I guess the takeaway from that is you just don't know until you're doing it. So if you are setting up a temporary situation, you might as well make it comfortable enough to be in for a while, because you just don't know how long it's going to take to get everything done. And also, you just have to, the ambitious planner part of you has to be kind to the part of you that actually has to live through it.
You can do things you didn't know you could do. So I guess the moral is that you can teach an old dog new tricks.
I'm the old dog.
We're doing okay. We're doing fine. We've learned a lot, and we're still learning.
but an attitude of learning and an attitude of being okay with accepting that the lessons that we need to learn are sometimes kind of elementary is allowing us to make the changes that we have always dreamed of making.
And it's all right there in front of you, and you just got to pay attention and react and not be afraid. And look, nobody's died so far.
So I hope you're getting our little joke here, which is that a lot of the things that we needed to know, we actually really did know. Maybe we didn't know we knew them, or we didn't have the courage to act on them. But a lot of the things that you need to know to create alternative lifestyle, you've already got. So if you're making a shift like this, we wish you luck.
We sure are in a weird place in this country, aren't we? A weird, weird place.
This last one's called Be Present. So I tend to think of life in terms of movie clips or tweetable moments. Somehow I've convinced myself they last longer that way. Now my wife, now she proved me wrong when she referred to my phone as my black wife. Now, I thought it was funny. I mean, we both giggled. Now, you single dudes, y'all take notes. Now, I am no expert, but I don't think she was kidding. She proceeded to talk about some other stuff, which I really don't remember. I was too busy composing this tweet where I'd quote her with some sort of clever hashtag about marriage and about how much I love her to be listening to her right then. And I think what snapped me back in was the silence, which indicated I was supposed to have some sort of response to whatever she was saying right then. I told my father that story in hopes to get a little sympathy. My father, civil rights, Vietnam War vet, hopelessly charming on his fourth marriage, father. And rather than the customary nod that men give each other when they understand, he proceeded to explain to me why he failed as my mother's husband. He said it was the same reason half of his platoon died in Vietnam, and the same reason you are deathly afraid of your daughter becoming a teenager. Son, you can't hear past the explosions. Either the ones you remember or the ones you anticipate. See, the former, it paralyzes. You live in life in a rear-view mirror, driving full speed across six lanes of traffic into the center divider, or so shell-shocked, you too stupid to duck when bullets are flying. Or the latter, your life, a game of capture the flag, so fixated on the finish line you stepped right on a landmine, frustrated because you can't find your keys. Think about the traffic you finna sit in and the meetings you about to miss to realize you've been holding your keys the whole time. Slow down. You've been hypnotized by the possibilities. Son, I couldn't hear past the bombs. First one didn't kill me and the second one ain't even happened. Yet it ended our family. He told me a love story. This woman, born before him, he said, but I knew her from before, and at the moment of conception, there was this eternal connection. And although I didn't know it then, I'd fight for her affection. It's this war we've been waging since day one of creation, and only when you lose her do you learn to appreciate her. Like, even when I'm with her, I'm itching to get rid of her, and she only gives you one shot. Blow it and she's gone. I took advantage of her. That's why I'm telling you this, son. You can't rush her or slow her down. You better keep her on your side. She will slip through your fingers like sand. Her name is time. And he told me a secret. He said, multitasking, it's a myth. You're not doing anything good, just a lot of stuff awful. And she begged me to stop stretching her thin and stuffing her full and stop being so concerned with the old her and future her. But love her. Now, said her presence was God's present, and you should be that present. So I guess you can say I've somewhat been through a divorce. I'm no longer married to my phone. Learning to be here now.
Now, go find the others. .com.
Wait, I... Ding, 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 ding. Looks like we're out of time. Goodbye.